Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Dismantling the Department of Education. Termination notices sent to over 1,300 employees tonight. ABC's Mary Alice Parks.
The National Education Association, a large education association representing many teachers. The president writing, the real victims will be our most vulnerable students. Gutting the Department of Education will send class sizes soaring, cut job training programs, make education more expensive and out of reach for middle-class families.
25% tariffs on Canadian steel and aluminum go into effect at midnight. President Trump today had planned 50% tariffs, but backed off on the higher number after back-and-forth tit-for-tat tariff talk from Ontario's government. A vote of 217 to 213. By that vote, the House passing a spending bill that funds the government through the end of September. The bill needs to pass the Senate still. It could face a filibuster from Democrats. NTSB urging a ban on helicopter operations near Reagan Airport after that deadly crash with an airliner. This is ABC News. The FBI has joined the search for a 20-year-old University of Pittsburgh student who went missing almost a week ago while on spring break in the Dominican Republic. Austin police investigating the city's eighth homicide so far this year.
It's hard to determine if the
investigators have not formally identified the man who was killed outside his own apartment, but conspiracy theorist Alex Jones posted on X that it was one of his employees, Jamie White.
Jamie was murdered last night outside of his home, just a few miles away from our studios.
Jones blames Austin politicians for White's death, saying reduced police funding and lax laws are fueling violent crime. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
A Canadian man sentenced to 25 years in federal prison for shooting both a South Dakota oil pipeline and North Dakota electrical substation. A judge finding Cameron Smith's crimes fit the definition of terrorism. He was ordered to pay over $2 million in restitution plus $250,000 in fines. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We recognize the groundbreaking achievements of Elizabeth Bayard. She defied the odds to become the first female journalist in Northeast Wisconsin. It was the mid-1800s. Bayard was considered a trusted voice as she wrote about the developing area of the territory known as Green Bay. Her reporting revealed the stories of women and families, offering a fresh perspective in a male-dominated press at that time. Perseverance, passion, and breaking barriers. Bayard is a part of Green Bay and Wisconsin history, and a symbol of the progress women continue to make every day. We recognize the powerful women from the past and those who are still writing their own history today. I'm Lisa Hale.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks in Indianapolis to take on the Pacers tonight. But the Bucks organization shocked and saddened at the news that Junior Bridgman has passed away. Bridgman played for the Bucks from 1975 to 1984, then later became a successful businessman, sitting on several boards of directors and growing his own business to over 100 restaurants, Wendy's and Chili's, many in southeastern Wisconsin. Last fall, Bridgman was included as a partner in the ownership of the Bucks.
10, 12 years ago, when there was rumors of the team possibly going to this city or that city, I said, that cannot happen. The people here deserve to have a team. They've supported a team even when those years when we weren't very good. They support them now. Why would you move the team from here?
Bridgman at an event today in his home city of Louisville, witnessing he grabbed his chest, saying he might be having a heart attack, rescuers unable to save him. Junior Bridgman was 71 years old. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Robert Redford has come out of retirement to make his first acting appearance in 6 years. The 88-year-old will appear on an episode of AMC in Dark Winds. Redford is also an executive producer, along with Game of Thrones producer George R.R. Martin. Redford will appear on episode 1 of season 3, which will air this coming Sunday night. Redford requested his scenes be shot on a closed set due to his insistence on appearing in his altogether. The show Dark Winds is set in the 1970s and follows a Navajo police unit. The show's director, Chris Ayer, says Redford's fellow executive producer, George R.R. Martin, will also have a cameo in the first episode of season three. He added that the season three executive producer cameos were part of the plan since season one. He also admitted that despite Redford being a phenomenal and supportive producer, the idea of directing the legendary actor really freaked him out. New episodes of Dark Winds drop on AMC Sunday nights. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns and warmer. Highs to the low 50s and up into the low 60s and partly to mostly sunny Thursday. Near 70 Friday with showers and storms late and breezy. Right now it's 38.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, a preview of the Wisconsin Supreme Court debate with Matt Rothschild and Angela Lang filling in. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Henry Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzhunk, it's your birthday, and we want to celebrate it. And, happy birthday.
Aw, thanks, Dega. I want to shout out JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul for sponsoring this portion of the show. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
We are awake, and happy birthday. And how does it feel being, what are you, 18, 19 years old now?
No, but it kind of still feels that way, doesn't it?
No.
I am the big 27 today, 20 e trace.
Wow, 27. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's a milestone.
It good definitely is.
Good for you. And, you know, anything special? I know you had a rock'em sock'em birthday party this last weekend. We got big snow coming, so, and we have some people from MnDOT to help us out today, but
yeah,
any big plans?
You know, luckily I was able to enjoy the sunshine and the 40 degree temperatures on Sunday. We did a little friend get together, so shout out to my friends for showing up for me as they always do. And yeah. We had some good food, we had some sweets, we did a little bonfire at the St. Croix River. So yeah, that was great. I booked a little birthday trip to see my other friend who just moved to Washington State, actually. So I feel like maybe I did that and then brought the rain here today. I don't know.
Oh, when you're leaving, do I have to hire someone to pick up the slack here? Or what?
No, I made sure to do a weekend trip.
Oh, so. Bless you. Bless
we'll be
you.
Gone. I'm excited, though. I've never been to Washington State, so I'm going to check out a couple of the national parks up there in the Seattle area.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. I don't think I've ever been to Washington State. And you know, Wendy lived there and she likes to bring that up every once in a while. And
cool.
Hopefully she's not listening to the show, but she only lived there for like a year and a half. But it must have been a big deal because she brings it up all the time.
Hey, I mean, if I lived over there, I would bring it up all the time, too, even if it was for a month. I've been to Seattle once and it was just in the airport. So kind of excited to go explore a little bit more.
I know the feeling. I've been to L.A. in just the airport during COVID.
Wow, really? Oh, during COVID, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, we'll have to go back to California together. I was thinking about Ruth Ann Thorne, who we had on last Wednesday.
Oh,
and
she
was talking to Arvina and I about how many federally recognized tribes are in one county alone out there in California. And it was like 18.
Yeah. Well, that was crazy. And again, that show was excellent that you hosted with Arvina. And I was listening to it and I got FOMO, so I almost jumped on and joined in the conversation. But you guys did a great job, and again, a big peeny geegee. Hey, just a quick thing before we get to our guest here. 50 protests in 50 states. Tonight is the orange one's going to be speaking to the Senate, and hopefully either they walk out or they boo him. They got to do something. This last action at the Capitol was today, March 4th, and I'm waiting for updates on that. I know the news had video up there, which was excellent, and it looked like a good crowd, but I have a friend of mine who, she was there, and I'm going to try and get a report from her.
Oh, awesome. I did not know that was going on, too. I want to shout out, too, while we were talking about Ruth Ann Thorne, I remembered that This Is Indian Country started airing on FNX, First Nations Experience. If you look that up, you can watch This Is Indian Country. And Ruth Ann did the producing and hosting of the 12-part docuseries.
So yeah, she had a heck of a crew, and I think I might be in there in the interview, but I know, like, Misko is in there dancing.
Yeah.
That's when we first opened up the store in downtown Minneapolis, when Misko and I think Jelaine was the manager, but for sure Misko was managing that first year. And
yeah, so kind of like Minneapolis-based, I think, for the first two episodes.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, let's get our friend Ruth Ann Buffalo on, and it's funny, she is, you know, the CEO and president of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities and all over. And Ruth Ann, good to see you.
Hi, yeah. Matsugadats, thank you for having me. Good to see you both.
Yes, we were talking about Ruth Ann Thorne, who's a TV personality, and then we have Ruth Anna Buffalo on, and I was all confused because I was texting her, and I thought I was talking to you, and, you know, Ruth, it's rough getting old, I just got to tell you that.
No, no worries. I know, like, when I heard you say Ruth Ann, too, because, like, back home, a lot of family, community members call me Ruth Ann, too, so no problem, but yeah, it kind of caught me by surprise there too. When I heard Ruth Ann being referenced, I was like, what? I did what?
Well, if nothing else, our show is very confusing, and we've been doing this for 9 years, so I guess we'll keep it that way.
Yeah, stay consistent.
Hey, so how we got a big storm here. I don't know if you're in the Twin Cities right now, but we got like 6 to 8 inches happening this, and I got to move my car and take out the trash, so I'm not scared of afraid of the snow, but we got something coming up here, and I know you guys at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center really help the homeless, and I know they're going to need to take shelter. It's going to get snowy and cold again.
I'm in the Twin Cities area, and Emergency warming center is open overnight tonight, and then ending tomorrow at 3 o'clock. But we had our second Tuesday Resource Connect, and it's going very well. We provide breakfast and lunch, and then service providers come on site and help get just make connections with the unsheltered and help get connected to resources. And it's been going pretty good.
Yeah, that sounds great. And whenever you bring up some of the resources that you guys have, I'm always my ears are perked up waiting to hear that cakewalk again that you had a long time ago. I can't wait to try and get into that.
Yeah, for sure. We're looking forward. We got to start getting geared up for the American Indian Month in May. With the open houses and the parade, we're reigning champs from 2024. And so I've been told that there's a few people that are, you know, eyeballing or, you know, going for our traveling trophy. So we're feeling the pressure. No, it's all in good fun. But yeah, we definitely will look forward to hosting another open house and having a cakewalk. And speaking of cake, the family at MIWRC surprised me with cake today. It's my 1 year anniversary of being a part of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Congratulations.
That's a big congratulations. We were able to, Haley and I were able to go, I don't know if it's the exact same day, but we went down there when you were introduced to the community and for that event. And I don't know if it's the same day, but we were able to make that and really excited because we know all the great work you do. And we're excited that you're here in the Twin Cities helping out our community.
Thank you. Mazagita. Yeah, it doesn't seem that long ago. The staff were asking, you know, for a speech and stuff and asking how the first year has gone. And it really doesn't seem that long at all. So, yeah, I'm just really proud and happy to be a part of the team.
Well, we're here with Ruth Anna Buffalo, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, President and CEO, and we're going to take a quick break here and then maybe catch up on what else is going on at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center and see if Ruth is still hitting the basketball court. Ho-wa.
Right on.
Right on. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Support comes from the Walker Arts Center. Did you know that the Walker has a cinema that shows film almost every week? From artist talks, genre-defined performances, and world premieres to archival shorts and experimental soundscapes, the Walker Cinema explores all modes of global and local filmmaking. Get your first ticket for free. Visit walkerart.org/cinema to learn more. See you at the movies. walkerart.org/cinema to learn more. Have you considered a career in the museum field? The Minnesota Historical Society is now accepting applications for its Native American Museum Fellowship. The 10-week summer program is a mix of workshops, seminars, and hands-on internships at the Minnesota Historical Society. It is open to undergraduate students, recent graduates, and community scholars with an interest in museums and heritage studies. Learn more and apply now at mnhs.org/NAI.
I love the Toyota Sienna Hybrid from Rudy Luther Toyota. Safe, roomy, comfortable, and insanely fuel efficient. One thing I haven't mentioned is how good the Sienna is at winter driving. We just had a snowstorm, and my Sienna handled the ice and snow no problem. From getting through the plow pile at the end of the driveway to safely navigating the snow-covered highways, the Sienna is designed to give you a comfortable, safe drive. When winter weather hits, I give myself extra time, but with Sienna's handling and heated seats, extra time is great. Test drive a Sienna today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, yes, they do. Hey, we are here with Ruth Anna Buffalo, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities, President CEO. And before I get into the official questions, Ruth Anna, you've been still hooping?
Sorry, what was that?
She was hooping right there.
Are you still hooping?
Yeah, we found another league to get in. So yeah, we are a glutton for punishment. No, just kidding. Right. Well, or however that saying goes. But yeah, we are the same team. Leah like Princess Leia, but
I think it is
Leah Hill. She coordinated the team that I played with. Maya and I, my daughter, oldest daughter, had played on this past season. And so that season ended. And then now we're going to jump in another league, too, that's going to start this spring.
So you got the sky hook going? Are you the sky hook, or are you a layup person?
I haven't done
person?
That yet. I mean, I used to back in the day, but no, I should definitely work on that for sure.
Wow, awesome. Well, hey, I got a couple questions, and one of them is, how did the Eagle Feather workshop go last week?
It went really, really well. Yeah, it was good to see community members and to see Juanita. It was just very beautiful, well-attended event for sure.
So do you have another event like that coming up soon? Because there's events here that I want to make, and I know there's a limited amount of signing up to, or limited amount of space, I should say.
Yeah, we have the medicine making bag session March 20th. And then we also have something new that the staff are trying. It's a kids' night out to sort of give parents free time to go run errands or do different healthy activities. Sorry, I don't know if you can hear right.
No.
Chihuahua or the Boston Terrier is like choking over, they're drinking their water kind of too fast, yeah. But
they're thirsty.
They're okay though. But and then last Friday, MIWRC, the traditional healing and traditional birthing team, hosted a family night as well. And there was storytelling and home cooked meal and singing and dancing. So it's been good. Yeah, there's lots of opportunity to stop by and get connected, of course, to resources and just to also connect with each other as community members for sure.
Well, I know you and help the community with resources. Again, I would really love, before I forget, because I'm getting old, I have a good memory, but it's short. If you could let people know how they could donate to your organization and know more about it.
Sure. If you go to our website, miwrc.org, donate. There's a big tab that says donate. As soon as you click on our website, there'll be front and center a big donate tab. Otherwise, it's, you know, our website /donate. Also from our website, you'll get linked up to like LinkedIn, our LinkedIn of MIWRC, also our Facebook page and our Instagram page.
Well, when you're looking to do some fundraising, I know Haley and I would definitely do the dunk tank, right, Haley?
Oh gosh, like sit in there ourselves?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, anything for Ruth Anna.
There you go. Just testing. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I have a story about those dunking booths. Yeah, my son, the oldest son, he had fun one of the summers. We were back home in Mandaree, and he, for the staff employee appreciation day, he was really like getting like on target with the dunking booth. And he was just a little guy back then, you know, but he was, I think the head of our finance department or the comptroller was in the booth, and he just kept getting dunked by my son. And he was tiny little guy at the time too. So it was cute.
Well, he can wing it now though. He's a baseball player, right?
Yeah. He grew up playing baseball. His dad's a baseball player. His grandpa played in one of those leagues, professional leagues. But yeah, there's definitely in the bloodlines on his my husband, you know, his dad's side of the family.
Well, and then you're athletic too, so both sides of the family. So yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I played best I, you know, could do, and was play softball league at Bismarck when I used to work at United Tribes.
Jeez, that's funny. So what else do we got going on here? You know, it's gonna be cold again and snowy, and you guys do so much great work for the community. I know I just can't say enough when we do happen to have you, and it's right in our face too that, you know, we're gonna have some weather again.
Yeah, we're open overnight, and we're closing, you know, 3 p.m. tomorrow. And so, yeah, we'll be, you know, providing meals and services, warm place to be for the unsheltered relatives. Sometimes people will come in, eat, get warm, you know, and leave. And so definitely trying to find long-term solutions to the unsheltered opioid crisis, but I'm super thankful for all the people who've been doing the work to address the issue for years, and so MIWRC is happy to continue partnering. But yeah, definitely upstream solutions, long-term solutions are needed. MIWRC is also, you know, proud partner in the planning and group planning strategic sessions for an American Indian Birth Center. So we're a part of the Birth Justice Collaborative, and we're a proud partner. And from a public health perspective, we see the disparities that you cannot deny based off of statistics or what is reported. There's great need for more care and attention and improvement of healthcare delivery in different systems. And so as a public health, you know, professional at the Master of Public Health, you know, in my training and things, we learn a lot about the disparities that exist and such a great need for more more attention and more care given to healthcare delivery processes that oftentimes aren't the friendliest and welcoming to the American Indian population, you know. So we have to work together to find solutions, and you know, giving birth is such a beautiful, sacred time, and it should be handled with the love and care. And so we're really proud to be a part of those efforts. It's all connected, you know, to everything that we do and trying to help improve the quality of life for everyone, for sure.
Well, you know, I got to tell our audience too, we're really proud to have Ruth Anna Buffalo on, and she's a former state representative, correct? Or was it senator?
State House rep. Yep.
I wanted you to be senator. That's what it was. I wanted you to be senator. Yeah. And also, you know, when the government calls here in Minnesota, I didn't get the call last Thursday to have dinner with the governor, but I know a few key people did. And possibly Ruth was at Owamni having a meal with the governor, maybe.
I was at Owamni.
Hey, good one. So, we are just really happy to have you. You're legit. You have always been legit, and we're really blessed to have you on the show. I want to give you like a couple minutes here left in the segment to talk about anything you want to talk about.
Yeah, I think, you know, just the importance of taking time to nurture, you know, just take time to take care of yourself and others, especially during these times. And last night I was able to build a fire and went through like a whole bundle of wood. And so, yeah, it was like a nice time to reflect and to stay grounded. And yeah, just, you know, we'll probably do that more often. You know, it's just good to take time to pause and to sort of reset. I think it's so important. Even social media fasts or cleanses or news fasts or cleanses too is important, and to just really nurture ourselves with like goodness and take time to pause. But yeah, I'm just super thankful to be alive and to be helping, you know, give back to community. You know, I lived here years ago when I believe I was 20, spent a whole year in Minneapolis, lived off of Cedar Avenue. But I was a youth worker, youth leadership development program at DIW years ago, you know. And yeah, I'm just thankful to be on this earth to help where we can. And I think it's all of our responsibility to do what we can to be good to one another, and yeah, just continue to be good to one another.
Yeah, definitely. And your beautiful family, it's great that you do take time to take care of yourself and your family. That's so important.
Ma, it's a good odds. Thank you. Yeah, we have fur babies too. So
yeah, little chihuahua. A lot of
time and attention. Yeah.
We had two chihuahuas, and one of them, whenever she'd sleep with us, and whenever I move, she'd bite me in the head. And we miss her. We miss little Nikki. We love the chihuahuas. Ruth Anna Buffalo, a big peeny geegee for being on as always. And take
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Dismantling the Department of Education. Termination notices sent to over 1,300 employees tonight. ABC's Mary Alice Parks.
The National Education Association, a large education association representing many teachers. The president writing, the real victims will be our most vulnerable students. Gutting the Department of Education will send class sizes soaring, cut job training programs, make education more expensive and out of reach for middle-class families.
25% tariffs on Canadian steel and aluminum go into effect at midnight. President Trump today had planned 50% tariffs, but backed off on the higher number after back-and-forth tit-for-tat tariff talk from Ontario's government. A vote of 217 to 213. By that vote, the House passing a spending bill that funds the government through the end of September. The bill needs to pass the Senate still. It could face a filibuster from Democrats. NTSB urging a ban on helicopter operations near Reagan Airport after that deadly crash with an airliner. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks in Indianapolis to take on the Pacers tonight. But the Bucks organization shocked and saddened at the news that Junior Bridgman has passed away. Bridgman played for the Bucks from 1975 to 1984, then later became a successful businessman, sitting on several boards of directors, and growing his own business to over 100 restaurants, Wendy's and Chili's, many in southeastern Wisconsin. Last fall, Bridgman was included as a partner in the ownership of the Bucks.
10, 12 years ago, when there was rumors of the team possibly going to this city or that city, I said, that cannot happen. The people here deserve to have a team. They've supported a team even when those years when we weren't very good. They support them now. Why would you move the team from here?
Bridgman at an event today in his home city of Louisville, witnessing he grabbed his chest, saying he might be having a heart attack. Rescuers unable to save him. Junior Bridgman was 71 years old. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Duchess of Sussex, also known as Meghan Markle, has taken a lot of verbal and tabloid abuse for her show, I Really Wish I Was Martha Stewart, a.k.a. With Love, Meghan. Critics don't like it, and according to Rotten Tomatoes, only 20% of audiences like it. Having said that, the show has been renewed for season two, and according to the New York Post, the crew absolutely loves her and said she treats everyone wonderfully. Why wouldn't she? She's a duchess with a horrible hit TV show. I can't think of anyone luckier. Mr. Scarlett Johansson, a.k.a. Colin Jost, was roasted on Saturday Night Live during Weekend Update by Lady Gaga's fictional husband, Lord Gaga, played by Mikey Day, who went on and on about how horrible it must be to live with a woman who makes so much more money than her husband. According to the Post, Colin Jost muscles through life with a net worth of just $10 million, and his wife Scarlett Johansson is worth $165 million. Somehow, they managed to make it work. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns and warmer. Highs to the low 50s and up into the low 60s and partly to mostly sunny Thursday. Near 70 Friday with showers and storms late and breezy. Right now, it's 36.
Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Alba, and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Brad Schimmel says he'll be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court to support Donald Trump's agenda. Deb Krautmiller joins us from the League of Women Voters. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have some guests from Minnesota Department of Transportation. We like to call that MnDOT here in Minnesota, Sarah and James. And Sarah, you want to introduce yourself, and then we'll have James introduce himself. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Hi, thank you for having us. My name is Sarah Rice, and I am affiliated with the White Earth Tribe, and I am from the Twin Cities area. My position with MnDOT is a transportation program specialist, and an average day consists of designing construction plans and determining the placement of electronic signs and cameras along the freeway. Additionally, I also make maps for the state so we can determine the age of our equipment.
Wow, cool. Welcome. And James, would you like to introduce yourself?
Good evening. I'm James Kimmick from Duluth, Minnesota, and I'm a transportation generalist, or a plow driver in the winter and highway maintenance in the summer.
Well, James, welcome, and welcome, Sarah. And one of the things we were kind of jokingly about is that it's going to be snowing a lot here, and it really isn't a joke here in Minnesota. And, you know, we have our great plowers come out, and you need to stay way behind them and all those things. So it's good to have you on, and I just want to say a big peenigigi thank you for what you do, because it's so important. And we see that when we see other states that aren't used to snow or ice, and really it isn't a pretty situation where we really handle it well here, James, in Minnesota.
I understand. It's challenging out there as it is.
Yeah. So again, you know, maybe you could give us a little background on some proper etiquette with plow drivers, because I know one thing about Minnesota is Minnesotans are like me. They have a good memory, but it's short, and they forget how to drive sometimes when we get snow.
Yeah, we see that a fair amount. But, you know, the big thing is if you see lights, you know, treat it like it's an emergency vehicle. I know there's a state statute that helps to try to guide for law enforcement and ambulance and fire trucks and any, you know, emergency vehicles. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. If you see us, take a breath and slow down, give us a wide berth of area to do our job, because we can move from one lane to the other so quick. And if we can't see you, that's where things can get into a sticky situation.
Absolutely. And people remember that and listen, especially guys that are listening to the show in the car. Hey, Sarah, how did you get involved with MnDOT as a transportation program specialist? Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yeah. So I was a college student, and I threw my name in the hat for a student worker position. And I was very fortunate enough to be accepted into that role. And it started off monitoring cameras on the freeway. And then eventually with my GIS skills, geographic information systems, I was able to make maps and learn more about the state and how I could use my talent. And it just grew into me being there 5 years now.
So when you make a map, can you tell us a little bit about that? So is there new roads, or are they new maps? Or tell us a little bit about map making. Oh, that was hard to say, Haley.
So I don't make the maps that they hand out to people in public. I do more internal maps. So it just consists of going out in the field and GPSing sometimes where our equipment are, so we can just know how some of our assets like fiber or cameras or the electronic signs, how old they are. So then we can keep it up to date so the public can have the benefit of seeing it on 511 and knowing that all of our equipment is up to date and good to use.
You know, I got to say this because I drive a lot in Wisconsin, but there's some clever sign in Madison. They're pretty funny. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I saw one yesterday that kind of said, pay attention, which is what we should be doing. But I thought that was kind of funny. They're always trying to in Wisconsin, and we're on Wisconsin too. We're on 30 stations, Wisconsin too. So I got to give them some credit too. It's pretty amazing. Their signs are kind of, you know, double entendres and kind of funny.
Yeah.
Who comes up with the messaging for the signs? Like, whose role is that?
I know it goes through a lot of chain of commands to how the, like, what gets approved. I mean, you can't just write anything.
Right.
Now, so, we wanted to get one that said happy birthday to Haley because it's Haley's birthday. So that's what we're getting at.
Those are so cool. I see some of the great signs though out there, and yeah, they are pretty clever.
Yeah. Message Mondays.
Oh, we didn't know. Tell us a little bit about that before I get to Jim on his next question.
I don't know what else to add. It's just I have noticed that they usually are out on Monday.
Oh, it's a new message on Monday?
I think so.
Hey, Jim, you get to operate a big snowplow, which is much needed, of course, in the state, especially the northern towns. How did you get involved first with MnDOT and then advance to plowing?
Well, it's funny you ask, because I was just driving by the truck station up in Pike Lake, just on top of the hill of Duluth one day, and they had the signs, those electronic signs that said plow drivers needed and call this number. So I literally pulled over after I got through the intersection and called up, and I spoke with Jeannie from HR, and I said, tell me more. And that was July of 2021, and the end of September I started and have been driving plow trucks and all sorts of other heavy equipment ever since then, and really enjoy it.
So, James, did they trained you, helped you get the proper licensing?
Yeah, they helped and trained me. I did have some experience with the United States Navy Seabees. I was in the military for 24 years prior to that. Wow. So I had some heavy equipment exposure and, you know, repair and maintenance experience. And I think it just all kind of compiled into a good fit for where I'm at in today's world.
Wow.
Well, thank you for your service.
Haley beat me to it. Yeah, big peeny gee. Thank you for your service. We didn't realize that. That's a really cool thing. So would you tell our, like, our Native community, and we have a lot of course our white allies on the listening to the show, to that MnDOT's a great place to work?
Yes. You know, the funny thing is the opportunities for someone just getting started in the workforce to get an entry-level opportunity, a lot like with how Sarah kind of started. There's even, you know, different avenues for, you know, every facet almost of the workforce. And that's the one thing you can gain your experience, expand your skills to advance a career and a life. And, you know, there is a large group of Indigenous employees within MnDOT, and they too can provide you with a little bit of direction if you just ask. And that's kind of what I've, you know, experienced, and I'm actually still trying to, you know, learn more as I go. I mean, just over 3 years now, and there is a large opportunity to see all the different ins and outs of MnDOT. So I would strongly encourage anybody, you know, especially Natives, got a great benefit package, and you advance in pay pretty fast, at least in my career field. In 3 years' time, I've seen over an $8 an hour pay raise. So they want to keep you on, you know, keep your interest. And I think the biggest the biggest thing I see with, you know, anybody, but, you know, for, you know, people like myself, and I've got a couple of coworkers, Jeremy Amazmaki, he's out of Fond du Lac here, just out by Cloquet, and he and me get along real well, being, you know, native, and we have such a fun time, and we, you know, have so much variety in the work, you know, from day to day that can happen. So that's a real appealing thing, I think, to kind of keep your interest and, you know, help your career be enjoyable one as you move forward and up.
Wow, great information. I wanted to ask you, I'm going to get to you, back to you again, Sarah, but I wanted to ask you about the plow that you drive. It has a special name. Could you tell our audience about this?
Yes. And another Native American, he was driving the truck before me, so I'm honored to be able to take over the truck. The name of my plow truck is called Gowedan, mm-hmm. and it represents North Wind in Ojibwe. And it's kind of a cool thing, you know, to have, you know, just that little bit more of a connection, you know. So hopefully anybody who happens to see the Gowedan North Wind truck out there on Highway 33, you'll know a little bit more about that truck now. It's pretty cool truck.
That's cool, James. Is the name on the plow or is it on the front of the, above the window, or where's the name on it?
Yeah, it's on the side, on each side of the box of the truck. That's, I think, primarily where they focus all the titles for the truck and names and stuff. So
cool. Well,
we're kind of fortunate to have two named trucks in our shop. We do have another one called the Duck Duck Orange truck.
So. Okay. That's not as sacred as Gwinden, I'll tell you, but that's a good one. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's good entertainment for the youth, you know. I think it catches their eye. And,
well, yeah. Heck, I just laughed.
it gets all the kids in us, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Sarah, I'm back with you here. What surprised you the most as a Native about working with MnDOT, given that they are a state agency?
Just to piggyback off what James said, is the opportunity. There is so much opportunity available with whether it's you're with the Environmental Stewardship Group or even the Indigenous community with MnDOT. There is so many people to meet, so many things to learn, and every day you go in knowing you're going to learn something new. So,
wow, that's awesome. Very cool. We're going to get deep into that, Sarah, and we got another segment with you, too. We're with Sarah and James with the Minnesota Department of Transportation, MnDOT, here in Minnesota, and good timing to talk about your job and availability and with the snow coming. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short message.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heapa Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demeny, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Do you have a vehicle you no longer need? Are you a little cash-strapped? Rudy Luther Toyota will pay you for your used vehicle. It's really simple. Head to RudyLutherToyota.com, answer a few simple questions, and Rudy Luther Toyota will get you an instant offer. Then they will set up an appointment, and after a quick verification, they will handle all the paperwork and coordinate getting you your check. It's that simple. It's a fast way for you to get rid of the vehicle you no longer need, putting money in your hands. For more information, head to RudyLutherToyota.com. That's RudyLutherToyota.com.
Have you considered a career in the museum field? The Minnesota Historical Society is now accepting applications for its Native American Museum Fellowship. The 10-week summer program is a mix of workshops, seminars, and hands-on internships at the Minnesota Historical Society. It is open to undergraduate students, recent graduates, and community scholars with an interest in museums and heritage studies. Learn more and apply now at mnhs.org/NAI.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
Oh. We know the Lieutenant Governor is part of the wolf clan, so we like howling here on Native Roots Radio, Haley.
For sure.
Hey, I know you got a question, Haley, about the Native Stewardish group. Do you mind asking our guest, Sarah and James?
Yeah, well, I think before we went to the break here, we're with MnDOT, a couple crew from the Minnesota Department of Transportation. And I think Sarah was talking a little bit about the Native inclusion in with MnDOT. And what was, can you tell us a little bit about the Native Stewardship Group that they have?
So I was introduced by, I accidentally came across I don't know if it was like a posting or something on our intranet. And I reached out and someone got me in contact with our indigenous group at work. And I joined, and Wobbin has been, and everyone in the group is so kind, and it really lifts my spirit every time I attend a meeting. And I don't know, I just kind of, just became a great part of work.
So is it during work or is it after work or lunch?
I think it's mainly during lunch hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll have like lunch and learn sessions where you can they'll have someone come in and speak and present, and you can take part and listen if you can.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just started a couple months ago with the group, and I love it.
Wow, that's awesome. And James, you're probably out too much driving around to be able to participate in this group.
It has been challenging, I can admit, to be a part of this group. Being a veteran, there's also a Veterans Employees Resource Group that I'm a part of too, and that it's difficult. But once the snow and ice season, we call it, end, I think that's around the 25th of April, then I get to kind of slide into the summer schedule, and I have a little bit more variance there. If I'm not out chasing grandkids or, you know, this, that, and the other, fishing or, you know, whatever you get your hands into. So,
well, James, that's really cool. And I just have to, we talked a little bit about this too. And I think we get a hold of for careers when we were talking about how great of a career it could be. It's www.dot.mn.us/careers for job opportunities. And there's job opportunities all the time, people retiring and opportunities out there. So get back on that website and Google careers at MnDOT.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Sarah, you seem like you're really happy and content, and you kind of fell into this job.
Yeah, that explains it all.
That's awesome. And so you didn't have to jump on the website and look up careers, or?
No, I mean, when I applied, I did, when I became permanent. But during COVID, they really took me under their wing and helped me still be employed. And everything just fell into place, and they're very good to their employees.
Right. And you have a great retirement, you have salaries, health care, and it looks like too, you have a really nice apartment with that grand piano in the background.
That's just the virtual background.
Oh, okay.
You have good options.
Yeah, that's right. James, this is a place where anyone young could jump on there and make it a career and retire. And I'm sure you've experienced that and are on your way to that too, right?
Yeah. You know, one of the job opportunities that I kind of grabbed as an example is it's part of a TAPP program called the Transportation Associate Pathways Program. And it's a temporary entry-level highway maintenance worker, labor general type of thing, full-time temporary, about a 12-month opportunity. Annual salary starts around $43,000 to $49,000 a year, which is like $20 to $23 an hour. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just a door that opens up, and behind that one's probably another 4 to 6 doors. And in each, every one of those doors, it just exponentially expands. And, it's kind of a cool opportunity to share with people. And, you know, I've been able to go to a few different career fairs, for both, you know, MnDOT directly and also our veteran employment, resource mm-hmm. group. And they also, we also have done one. We just did one here last fall up on Red Lake. Mm. And, that was their first ever veteran career fair there. And so it was kind of the mix between veterans and indigenous employees resource group. It was pretty cool. I look forward to going back up there. It's a lot of great people, and, it look forward to expanding that.
Well, James, you know, and hopefully a lot of our listeners know that, you know, we really respect and our Native military veterans. And I just want to say a big peeny geegee again for you for serving. And it's per capita, we have more people, Native Americans in the military than any other community. So, again, a big, big thank you to that, to you.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. It's always cool to be able to share it and just, you know, let people know that there's things that you can do, and it can really kind of launch you.
Exactly. Sarah, I'm going to give you 2 minutes here. Let people know what you want them to know here in the last part of the show.
Oh, goodness. James did a really great job of summing up MnDOT as a whole. I would say that MnDOT has so many opportunities right around the door, and they, like he said, you'll always find something and another way to grow. They have a lot more to offer than just snow plowing. And yeah, I don't know how to express how grateful I am for everything I've learned.
Yeah. That's awesome, Sarah. And I just want to say a big thank you for coming on the show. And James, we'll give you the floor here, the last couple minutes here.
You know, she hit it pretty straightforward, probably a lot of things that I would say. It seems like we're on the right same wavelength. But, you know, it's a fun opportunity. I think the thing I like the most about working for the state of Minnesota is the variety of experiences that I've engaged in. You know, I got involved with the veterans and the indigenous employee resource groups, but they also have an LDP program, which is like leadership development program, which really is more of a exploration of all the things. I mean, I learned so much about what MnDOT does, you know, and they cover a lot more than just the highways. They cover the railways, they cover the aeronautics side and manage a lot of the smaller municipal airports. And the waterways, just it's huge, and the opportunity with that comes naturally to have a great comfortable opportunity and lifestyle that you can build for yourself and the family if you decide that's your direction.
Well, so, really, I really appreciate you both coming on, and we can't wait to have you on again. Maybe coming around when there's some more opportunities, get out there and go, you know, learn more about careers with MnDOT and www.dot.state.mn.us/careers. Thank you again for both of you sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us.
Miigwech.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Pete Schwabba.
Our next live broadcast is Thursday, where I welcome Mary Mack, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. And then comedian Rob Brackenridge joins me in the studio. Always fun.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. Layoffs at the Department of Education starting tonight. Some 1,300 federal employees sacked as the Trump administration works to fulfill its promise to dissolve the agency. North Carolina Democratic Congresswoman Alma Adams is on the House Education and Labor Committee.
It's an attack on our children, essentially, because they're the ones that really we rely on the Department of Education to protect and to provide what they need.
President Trump dialing back his latest tariff threat hours after making it today, upping the tariff on Canadian steel and aluminum to 50% before cutting it by half to 25%. That kicks in at midnight. Today, the House passing a stopgap bill to avert a government shutdown through September. That now heads to the Senate. Fresno, California, logging a confirmed measles case, but officials there say the risk to the general public remains low. This is ABC News.